reading to you from the first chapter of Philippians and the 15th verse. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, I tell you, like I said before, this 55 years have shot by pretty fast. But I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunities that God has given me. And friends, let me tell you what. When you're first saved, you're given one talent. You want more talents? You work at it. You study God's Word. You witness. You share Christ. You give to the poor. And I'll tell you right now, you get into God's holy, unerring Word, and I'll tell you right now, you'll have a good life. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I want to start off by reading three scriptures for you right off the bat. And listen, this is labeled forbidden love. And reading to you in Proverbs 20:13, do not love sleep, lest you become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Then in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And then 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Christian life, first of all, is built on love. And here's good news. John 3:16, the most powerful scripture in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then I read in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Then I read in 1 John 4:10, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, the Bible tells us, and this is hard, you know it is, that we are to love others. Well, that don't always work. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And then in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love our brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Well, that's pretty straight, isn't it? Look at it. Love has limits. There are some things we should not love. And let's look at the limits of love. We're forbidden to love sleep. Again, it says in Proverbs 20:13. Do not love sleep, lest you become poor. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with food. We're warned about the danger of laziness. Now, friends, this has been one of my complaints since I've been preaching. There's too many lazy Christians in the churches today. That is, if they are Christians. They call themselves Christians. But just because a man calls himself a Christian does not mean he is, if he's not been born again. Now, some people think, you know as well as I do, if they've joined a church, and they get baptized, oh, they take the Lord's Supper, they're safe. Oh, friends, that's a farthest part from the truth. We're warned now, there's a danger of laziness. We are to be busy serving the Lord, and time is precious. Every day deserves our best efforts. Now, you know yourself, and I know, that we sometimes get up in the morning, and we don't feel too sharp, especially my age now, and I have good days and I have bad days. Most senior citizens will agree to that. You have bad days and you have good days. But the thing is, we ought to give the very best that we have for the Lord. He gave His very best, His Son, so we should, in turn, reciprocate by giving our best. God calls workers, and the devil calls shirkers. Ooh, what a difference. Moses and David were tending sheep when called. I just can't imagine, after Moses was raised in complete royalty by Pharaoh's daughter, he was raised the best. And everything was going good in his life until he saw one of those Egyptians hurting one of his people, and he couldn't take it, and he killed that guy. Well, what did Moses do? He took off like a herd of turtles for the wilderness. He wasn't going to sit there and get killed. Well, when he got out there, he got a job herding sheep. Now, I'm not belittling sheepherders. No, I'm not. But I'll tell you, that's not the best job in the world, dealing with those sticky sheep. And you know what? The sheep is not the smartest animal in the world. One will jump off the bank, and that will fall him. Well, anyway, when God called Moses, he absolutely did not believe that he had the qualifications. And he probably didn't have the qualifications. Well, he wouldn't have apart from God. None of us have qualification to serve the Lord apart from the Lord. Now, God gives us messages. He gives us instructions. You say, well, God never gave me instructions. Well, you better check up then, because He's going to instruct you. If you're one of His children, He's going to instruct you. Now, David, he tended sheep, and oh, my stars. And him and old Goliath had a set too, didn't they? That little fellow was a lad. And that big old 9-foot-some giant, he said, hey, you send a kid out here to do a man's job? But I tell you right now, did he get a surprise of his life? Little David just, boom, put that old he slung that thing into his head and killed him, and he stood on him and cut his head off. But they were just tending sheep, and look what happened to them. Elijah was plowing. Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. Well, God calls us from all walks of life. Yes, He does. Now, I was a roofing contractor when He called me to preach. I honestly, can I confess something? I didn't want to give up my roofing business. I sure didn't. And then I had an opportunity of a lifetime when I was going to Bible college. You've heard me say about it. A job that I'd always wanted ever since I can remember. And I had an opportunity to go run a big organization with several roofing contractors under me. I had it all made, and the salary was humongous. I had a brand new pickup, radio in it, everything that I've always wanted. But I knew that day I could not take that job. Had I taken that job, beloved, I wouldn't be on radio tonight. I wouldn't have got to go to Japan and preach the gospel, go to Alaska, Mexico, and Caribbean, and Hawaii, if I'd have taken that job. See, God knew what He wanted me to do. Well, Paul preached day and night with tears, and I read in Acts 20:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's prepared you and I to do good works. Faith without works is dead. Well, we are not saved by our works. Of course, we're reading Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift. Get this. A gift from God. Oh, bless your heart. Salvation's free. Well, it's not cheap, but it's free. You might not have a dime. You might be walking the streets in Skid Row. And if you decided that you'd want to come to Jesus, He'll take you in without a dime. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, God works through us to accomplish his work. And again, let's read that again in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, now listen. We're forbidden to love the world. And I read it again, 1 John. For the do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Now, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, friends, I've been asked many times by people, say, well, you say you put God first, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, right? Well, how about your wife? How about your children? Oh, dear friends, God puts enough love in my heart for Jesus that he gives me plenty of love for my wife, my family, and my grandkids. He certainly does. Well, some people don't believe that, but he does. Oh, well, God loves the people in the world, and we're not to love the world system. But let me tell you what, the thing that I've told you before, the Lord, the morning I was saved, Reverend Tom Baird told me, I said, preacher, I do not believe that God loves alcoholics. I do not believe that. He thought a while on it. He quoted John 3:16. He said, for God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, do you really mean, preacher, that God really loves me, a no-good drunk? He said, absolutely. And then, I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced. So then he said, Cecil, here's a game plan. God does not love your sins, but he loves you a sinner. That's the way it is with you tonight. I don't care what kind of a wretched life you've lived. I don't care what you've done in your life. I do not care. All I'm saying that if you're willing to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he took your sins and my sins upon him, though he was sinless, and gave his life on the cross. No, they didn't take his life. He gave his life as a ransom for you and for me. Because God cannot look on sin. He's a holy, righteous God. And that's what Jesus was prepared for, the big foundation of the world, to come into the world and die for people like you and I. Well, what is this world about that we're forbidden to love? Well, it says this. It's about lust and pride. Oh, my friends, that's pretty prevalent today. And we've got to be careful of it. It is a forgotten word of our times, worldliness. Now, you say, well, now, Cecil, wait a minute. Don't you watch baseball once in a while? Yeah, I do. Don't you watch football once in a while? Yeah, once in a while. But I tell you right now, I won't miss a service to preach in prison for a football game, and our football games are terribly on Sunday, of course. No, I won't miss a preaching service to see a football game. Now, if I did, then I would be considered very worldly. We need to revisit the concept of holy living. God calls us to live in this world without being worldly. That's hard to do. Now, I'll have to admit, it's a hard thing to do. Well, we are absolutely forbidden to love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Consider how Jesus confronted this issue. And we find this in Matthew 5:40. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your cloak also. Now, friends, let me tell you what happened to me one time. I produced this film, Against All Hope. Now, I had a bona fide contract with this film producer, and everything went well. We did the movie, and everything went well. And And I flew back to Chicago and to see the original, and as they were doing the cutting on the cutting floor. And he said, "I'm sorry, Cecil, but we went over on our budget, and we made a film longer than we intended to. So I want $25,000 more. And I said, "You can't do that." I said, "Listen, I'm the roofing contractor for many years. If I come out and bid your roof, you say I bid it for $5,000, and I make a mistake in my measurements, and I went over, and that cost me 20 or 30 more square shingles or hot or whatever it was, I can't collect any more money, because I got a bona fide contract that I'll do that for X many dollars. Now, I'm not going to do this." Well, he said, "You're not going to get your film." Now, I know what the Bible says about suing people. So I went to a Christian attorney as a conciliator, and I told him my story. And I said, "I will not sue the man, but I want you to see if you can work it out." And bless your heart, he did work it out. And I didn't have to come up with $25,000 more, but boy, oh boy, did he ever hate me from that time on. Well, listen, you know my daddy used to say, of course he was an old man, an old pioneer, "Your word is your bond. If you say you'll do something, do it." And a handshake many times was all they ever had, those farmers. But that handshake was real. If you shook hands with a man and "I'm going to do this," then bless your heart, you're going to do it. Well, money motivated the sorrow of the rich young ruler. Remember him? He come to Jesus and he said, "Good sir, what must I do to earn eternal life? Well, otherwise, he was thinking, "Well, you know, I can probably buy my salvation." But he couldn't. Now, the Lord told him what he did. He said, "Well, I've done all that from the very beginning. I've kept all the commandments," which was a lie. You cannot live by the Ten Commandments. You're going to break one. If you break one, you break them all. See, that's the Ten Commandments was given to us to show you and I that we could not save ourselves, that we had to do something better, which was salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the Bible said he went away very sad because he had much money. The Lord just said, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have, and come follow me. And he said, "I can't do that, Lord." Now just think, this man's in hell today because he couldn't give up his riches to follow Jesus. He just couldn't do it. You know, the Bible says it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Yes, it is. Either for a camel to crawl through the eye of a needle than a rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. But money motivated the sin of Zacchaeus. Now, I remember Zacchaeus, that little short guy. He was a tax collector. Now, he was hated by all the Jews. Now, of course, he was short. Jesus was coming to town. So Zacchaeus got up on that limb to see if he could see Jesus when he coming down. Jesus looked up and told him, "Come, follow me. Get down off that limb, Zacchaeus, because I'm going to your house." Now, Zacchaeus did exactly that. Now, where was Zacchaeus saved? I say he was saved from the time he left that limb till he hit the dirt. How do I know that Zacchaeus really, really was saved? I'll tell you why. Because he told Jesus, "I'm going to give back four times more than I took from those people," because he was a crooked tax collector. We have them in America today, too, in other parts of the world. Now, John Wesley, here's what he said: "I fling it out of my hands, lest it finds a way to my heart." And T.R.A. Moody, Torrey or D.L. Moody, "A complete lack of the love of money." Friends, listen. Oh, I want money to do something with. What do I want money for? I want money that I might help other preachers to preach the gospel around the world. I can't go around the world anymore. I'm too old. But bless your heart, I can send my money, and I can send to these evangelists and preachers who are, some of them have orphanages down in Africa. They feed thousands of children. And they're not on TV begging for seed money either. These are real men. These are real born-again men. I wouldn't give a seed offering to anybody on television. I don't care who he is. It's just like, you remember this one healer, Benny Hinn. Now, the reason you know that it's not real, I'll tell you why. He puts on a circus act like you can't believe. He has them running up and down, throwing their crutches down, throwing their scooters over the side. And then he preens his feather as if he had done the healing. Did you know this great Evander Holyfield, the great heavyweight champion of the world? He went to Benny, and Benny healed his heart condition because they told him he couldn't box no more. Well, they said he was healed, and he went back to work boxing. He was a multimillionaire. Today he's broke. He's penniless. He has children with several different women, claimed to be a Christian. You see the fallacy of all that stuff? What will we do with our time, our talent, and our money? What will be of real value when you stand before Christ? I got something the other day. I didn't make this up. This was come from the Act Teens Corner. And this is a recipe for revival. And that could be for you and me today. If the lukewarm would fire up and the fault finders would measure up, the guilty would confess up, the gossipers would shut up, the quarrelers would make up, the discouraged would look up, the down and outers would get up, the soldiers would stand up, the Christian would pray up, and the sinners would give up, then we could have a revival. Friends, doesn't that sound sensible to you? Where is your heart today? Where is your love? Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, there's not a thing wrong with money if you use it for the glory of God. First 10% you give unto the Lord as your tithe, then you give offerings too. Friend, you can't outgive God. And you can't be selfish and be a happy Christian. It just isn't going to happen. Friends, let me ask you this. Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand tonight? Do you love the world? Do you hate your friends and your neighbors? I'm asking you tonight to give all that up and come to Jesus as a little child. And I'm asking you to turn your back on the old way of life and ask Christ to come into your heart and change your life, that you might live a more effectual life. And when you get to heaven, oh, he's got a mansion for you. He's got a reward. No sickness, no sorrow, no more heartaches, no more cancer. He'll do that for you. And he'll wipe away your tears. So tonight, if you're ready to turn your back on the way of life, I want you, and if you feel a tugging at your heart, I want you to pray this sinner's prayer as I lead you. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the terrible things I've done in my life, especially for turning my back on you so many times. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to talk to you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. Oh, friend, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity, not where you go to church. If you don't understand what I'm talking about tonight, you can call me. You can call me Collect if you want, and I'll be glad to accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Shame. this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I'll shout.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moog. Thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. I pray I said something that might encourage you. Oh, friends, don't quit. Some of you tonight are on the verge of suicide. Actually, you're so frightened. But you don't have to be frightened if you know Jesus. He promises he'll go with us through it. Now, I've been through so many health problems, you can't believe it. And I tell you right now, each time he's been with me, and I felt his loving arms around me because he knew I wanted to do one thing else. That's to tell people about Jesus. That's the joy of my life, going to prison and going wherever I can to tell people about Christ. Well, pray for my health and pray for my wife's health. Pray we'll be able to go to the Dalles next month. Would you do that? I'd appreciate it. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.